You're listening to In the Right Mind with Chris Wright, a show that takes a deep dive into the human spirit, where we share stories of hardship and hope, told by people from all walks of life. Chris is a certified health and wellness professional and, like his guests, has overcome profound challenges to achieve success and happiness. Through them, we learn what it takes to live life in the right mind.
Judith Costa, I appreciate you so much for doing this and sharing your passion for helping people and their relationships, both internally and outside of themselves with other people. It's a topic that is so under addressed, in my opinion, that the more we can push out information or give tips to people on how to really value themselves and value the people around them, which personally, as I was mentioning, I think that valuing yourself, that's where it starts. And then people around you can truly be appreciated from you and they can feel appreciated, especially in relationships, marriage, you know, friends, girlfriends, whatever stage of life you're in. So thank you again. And I want to really kind of start and dive into your experience and how you got here, because this wasn't always something at top of mind for you. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here with you. And thank you for the opportunity, Chris. And yeah, my path, my experiences and maybe my suffering is what took me to this stage. And I was telling you before we started the recording, I never imagined that we will be having this conversation, because my career was going in a totally different direction. And what happened is that when life throws challenges and you don't know exactly what is happening, but your health is not good, and you are having problems in your marriage, and you don't like the job you have, even though it looks wonderful, then you see that you have all the elements to be happy in your life, and you are not. That something is not working. And I start doing everything I could to learn. I love to learn. And reading books and listening to experts and all of this, but most asking myself questions, no? Mm. What do I really want and what I'm going to do? Then all these tools that I accumulated, I studied astrology and I learned Reiki and I read many books, as I told you, brought me into a new world. The book that changed my life was a book of Brian Weiss called Only Love Is Real, where the author that was the head of psychiatry in Mount Sinai here in Miami explains the story of two people, a couple that were coming to their practice. They didn't know each other, but they were soulmates. Mm. And I fall in love with this idea of that we all have a soulmate. And where is this wonderful being? And I started a quest. And the quest was, I was married, and the beginning of our marriage was just so exciting and special. And we were like having so much sync. And I wanted to demonstrate myself that my husband was my soulmate. But what I discovered was totally different. Then I became an expert on soulmates. I read a lot. I talk with people. I started interviewing people for a book that I have been writing for years and years about soulmates. And I decided after I got divorced that I really wanted to find my soulmate, that my husband and I, we had a great connection, but he was not the person for me at that moment in time. And the universe sent me to New York. And I said, yes, it's a longer, as you can imagine, story, but I moved to New York. I became a coach, a professional coach, and I started my career helping people to find their soulmates.
And that's awesome.
It was all what happened to me and what happened, but without the process, it just happened. I think that when you really are passionate about something, you want it, and you know you want it, and you tell the universe really conspires to help you find it. And yeah, I moved to New York. I found one of my soulmates, because it's a plural. We have more than one. And I got married here for a second time.
What an awesome story. And it's interesting because you don't hear this a lot. And you mentioned a couple things that kind of struck me. One being, so you got married initially, and it's not that you weren't unhappy. You wanted to convince yourself, right? And I think as a society, we look at the norms around us and say, okay, this is what it's about. This is how I should feel. That's what I gathered from that. So you did, and that tells me that you did even further soul seeking and digging within yourself to figure out, okay, there's more to this than just, okay, I'm happy, this is going to be my life. I mean, does that?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody was telling me, like, but why you complain? You have a handsome husband, you have money, you have a great house, you should be happy.
Right.
And I was feeling miserable.
Wow.
I was really, like, at the beginning of my career, not liking what I was doing. Then I had my own company, think that I have like a blood of an entrepreneur. But really what happened is that when you are going against yourself, and I think we will talk later about self-love more deeply, but there is a moment where you cannot continue doing it, because two things happen. Or you become depressed or anxious, or something happen at an emotional level that you feel that something is missing in your life. There is this sense of inner joy. Then the opposite is this inner insatisfaction, lack of fulfillment, call it the way you want. Or you have also physical problems. And I had both. And there was something that I couldn't deny. I mean, if the life that supposedly everybody likes for me is not working and I am not the person that I imagine, the only option that I have is to make changes.
Yeah. And that takes a lot of emotional intelligence and self.
Oh, it took me years. Don't put the medal on me. It took me a lot of years and suffering. It's what I tell my clients. I mean, I hope that when I was having all these problems, someone come into my life, like now myself, saying, right, here you have, you want a partner in life, true love. Oh, here you have a one-day workshop on how to find your soulmate. Or do you need more self-worth, self-love, and to build this wonderful life, then here you have a workshop on fall in love with yourself, and you want a better health, fall in love with your body. Then all of these workshops has been the result of these experiences that I have to like overcome, because life put me in this spot. I went in that direction and I find a wall. Then what else? You can remain there and cry, but when you are young and you see the rest of your life in front of you, then I think that there is a spirit, no? Not only of survival, but thriving and being happy.
Yeah.
I always had this sense of I will be happier in the second part of my life. I don't know why, but since I was a kid, I thought like when I will be 40, like Isabel Allende, I will be happier than in the first part.
Yeah, that's you mentioned something earlier too. So I think your experience that brought you up to this point probably played a role, and you had some difficult times growing up. What kind of environment? How did you grow up? I mean, was there love in your life growing up, family wise? I mean, were there really difficult times?
Another thing that helps in my practice is, first, I think I have a good level of empathy and I'm compassionate. But when clients say, "Oh, my parents got divorced," mine too. I didn't have a happy childhood. Okay, mine was not bad, but I wasn't happy. Me too. I got divorced and I am like trying to know what to do with the rest of my life. And me too. I had cancer. Me too.
Wow.
Then it helps you in the sense that you don't have to go through the same experience than someone else to understand. But when you have been there, you have a level of connection with the person that you can hold the space better, in a sense.
Yeah.
I don't think that we only grow through suffering, but we can just grow because we want, as you say, this soul searching. But usually we do it when we have challenges. We don't want to like do the homework and then there is, oh, you have an exam. Oh, now I have to study, no? Then it happens the same with the tests in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And the experience aspect of it, to your point, which you call out something really important, is no one experience makes somebody else, you know, more able to do the soul searching, right? It can be everybody's got their own unique.
Yeah, it's a unique path. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's something, because a lot of people, you know, have come to me and said, well, you've had all these problems and your parents died early and this and that. So that encouraged you to soul search. And yes, of course it did, right? Because that was my journey. That my journey was all these things happen. And it was important to me to feel good about me. And you don't have to go through all that to feel good about you, right?
No, I mean, what you said is so important, really. We have to put it in a frame, print it and put it in a frame, because people judge so easily and they compare to others very, very easily. And there is something that we have to mention, that the reason why you are here, it might not be the same reason why I'm here. Right. Your soul has an agenda and your agenda may not have anything in common with mine. Then you are making decisions for a reason. You are establishing certain kinds of relationships. You are going through experiences because you have decided before you arrive here and reincarnate, you don't remember any of those things, but your soul knows.
Right.
There is a compass that takes you to those parts. Then someone might be an addict, and from outside, everybody will say, oh, you should stop, and this is terrible, and oh, you're hurting your parents. And maybe it's an experience that this person needs. Maybe there is something behind the experience when it ends that is going to transform the life of this person.
Yeah, I love that. I love the idea of
of thinking that we are all here equal for the same reasons and that we have to live like socially accepted lives, because it's not about that.
Right. And you're right. It's the structure that is, in essence, kills people. It's the idea that, okay, well, I'm using drugs, society hates me, I'm going to go to jail or I'm going to die or, you know, whatever it might be. There's all these outside factors that are constantly influencing what your next step is going to be. And that's the whole concept around, okay, this is the only way you can live. This is what's acceptable. If you're in business, this is how you have to dress and how you have to act and how you have to. And that's something I'm very passionate about, because in my work today, I'm very outspoken. I'm myself. And if that isn't acceptable for them, well, you know, for lack of better words, fuck them. That's kind of, excuse my language.
No, you can leave. It's right. Not about the rest of the people. It's also what I'm trying to say. It's not that everyone has to leave or accept you the way you are. It's that you have to start by accepting yourself and then making choices and establishing relationships that really show this love that you have for yourself. Then your life becomes better because you don't put yourself where you don't belong. The problem is that people complain like, oh, you know, my boss. And you say, no, but I have to work here. How many other companies are in the world? How many other bosses you can find in your life, in your career, that will be better than this one? You always have a choice, but sometimes the choice that you have is more scary than complaining about my boss.
Right. Absolutely.
But how many people don't abandon relationships? And they have very good reasons. For my kids, for the money, because I cannot. I have been there. More time that I belong in a relationship. I know. I'm talking from experience, like me too. But let's be honest, there is a life waiting for you there. And sometimes we get stuck. And it's okay. We have the right to get stuck. Because we don't know how to continue. We don't know what's best. We're afraid of making different choices. We have this programming that, as you said, since we are children, we are receiving orders and being socialized. And we are afraid that if we go out of the norm, we are not going to be accepted. And not being loved is a major thing.
Yeah, I could not be more aligned with what you're saying. And the journey to that is really where I think you've excelled in figuring out okay, where does this start? So my next question for you is, if somebody came to you who really didn't understand how to do that searching or where to go on that searching, how would you define, if I'm somebody who knows nothing about self-love, what would you describe it as to me? Like, what is self-love? How do I know when I'm at that point?
It's very easy. It's to become your best friend. It's to treat yourself as you treat someone that you really love.
Yeah.
Like, when a friend has a problem and calls you crying, what do?
I support them.
Exactly.
Right.
You find the nicest words. You say, don't worry, I'll help you. I'm sure we can do something about this. You're going to be compassionate and kind and understanding and everything. When you have a problem, what you do with yourself? You are stupid.
Right.
It's how it's possible you didn't see it. You again, you fight. All of these things.
Yeah.
You don't treat yourself as you treat others. Then
yeah.
It's exactly that. We understand love like it's something that goes from me to others. But nobody has explained us in a school or at home. Like, no, this love first. You are the fountain of this love. It grows from within you. And you have all you need. And the more you have, the more you can share.
Yeah. Why do you think that's so hard? Why is it so hard for people to self-love?
I think that because self-love, we are talking like it's one thing, but it's a big concept.
Yeah.
I like to think like it's a tree that have a trunk, and all the different branches add to the tree, like to the health of the tree. But self-love is stop comparing yourself with others, stop judging yourself, stop criticizing yourself, stop lying to yourself, finding your worth. Like, your worth doesn't depend on what you do and what you accomplish and how much money you have. It's your birthright.
Mm.
Then all of these concepts and many more that include self-love are not expressed. We get like little, you know, little pieces, but then we have to make the puzzle. And what I have discovered in this workshop that I mentioned, Fall in Love with Yourself, the first thing that we do, the participants and I, is that from all this list of self-love components, let's say, choose the three that are more difficult for you. And we will work on that. Because if you try to accomplish this self-love all in one, it's very difficult.
Right.
And I try to attract clients that are very analytical. Sometimes our mind is our best enemy, and we believe everything the mind says. Then a lot of my clients are stuck with self-judgment. Difficulties to forgive is a big one also.
Yeah, I can imagine.
A mistake, or I did something wrong, or something happened to me that I cannot forget and forgive. I cannot let it go. But it's different in relationships than in general, if we look at the concept in general. But I think that it's difficult because we have never practiced it. You go to the gym to train your body to do certain things. Every sports person know that it has to train, but you have to do the same with your mind.
Yeah.
You have to take the mind to the gym and tell the mind, no, I'm not going to accept that you talk to me like this. We are going to be more kind. We are going to have a different relationship. You have to build this friendship with yourself. It doesn't come in the package for most of us, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of what you're saying, I mean, I'm just thinking about my own experience with guilt and feeling bad about things that may be irrelevant many years later, and just constantly just beating myself up over dumb things that just really aren't relevant to today and to my emotional success today. And it just feels like the mind sometimes just constantly is pounding away, like, well, no, you should feel bad about this, you should do that. And it's hard.
But it's the program that you put there. If you update a computer, if you change the program, the computer will do something different, no?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Here it's the same. Think that from 0 to 7, you don't discriminate any message that you receive. And from 0 to 7, you have received many, many messages.
Yeah.
Then you are at the school and the teacher says, you're stupid, or you have to behave, or you are bad boy. And then you go home. And unless you do this and this and this, I'm not going to love you. And you start thinking, like, that to receive love, I have to be not me, because they don't like me. They like this that they are trying to model, like, be a good boy and be behave and do your homework and do. Then in order to receive love, I have to do certain things. There are certain conditions. It's when the idea of that life is conditional, that it's established. And then suddenly you discover that you don't want to be alone in this world, then better to adapt. That others like me, then let me put a facade and be the way they want, even though I'm not this person, I know inside. But I'm going to be what they want because I want to be loved. It's one of the innermost desires that we have. We are built this way. We want to be loved. We want to belong. We are social animals. And
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I just think about my day to day and all the people around me, and it's so many people that think that way. That's, oh, I got to act this way or act that way. And I have so many conversations with people where I'll just openly talk and say, things that are on my mind, and they'll, oh man, you know, I can really relate to this, or I can really relate to that. It feels good to, yeah. So you're absolutely right. There's this inner person always trying to come out, and it doesn't matter who you are. It's to your point, we all come into this earth and we all have who we are inside. And the 0 to 7 piece is really important. And I think societally, there's a lot of changes that should probably be made. I won't get political on that or get deep into that, but how we're training essentially our kids to be conditioned to be accepted in society. There's so much wrong with that.
But I think the most important work is at home. And again, there is a moment in time where you have to take responsibility for your life. I work with people that is, no, because my mother never loved me. I say, how old are you? 55. Do you want to continue blaming your mother for your problems? Yeah. She did the best she could. I mean, moms don't come with a book of instructions. They have their own challenges and they do what they could. And if you really want to change your life, you have to stop blaming others and you have to start saying, okay, now it's my turn to be myself, authentically who I am, to find my worth, to connect with my value, and to share it with the world.
Yeah. And another thing that you do is you bridge this into relationships. So is the relationship aspect, so when you're working with people, whether it be in a work group or where, you know, you have several people together in a group and you're talking, does it start with self-worth and discovery and kind of go into the relationship side? Or, I mean, walk me through a little bit of that, because you're passionate about relationships as well.
I'm very flexible. My career really started, the first workshop that I had was how to find your soulmate, and I still teach that. But very soon I realized that the most important reason, or one of the most important, why people couldn't find this true love is because they didn't love themselves. Then it's when I created the Fall in Love with Yourself workshop. When I was traveling before this pandemic, I usually schedule them both in a weekend. And the funny thing is, first, we were doing the self-love. You can register independently, but a lot of people really got the idea that if I know who I am and I know what I have to offer to others, I really love myself. If I have this love inside of myself, I embody it, then love will show up in my life. Mm. And then the second day, we really specifically talk about how to find your soulmate, that it's a little bit, I don't like this idea of the law of attraction, but to make it easy or simplify it, that how you really attract something is becoming this energy. And I do intensives. It doesn't matter if it's one day or one weekend or a long weekend or a week retreat that I have, because then is when you can immerse yourself in those ideas. But coming back to your question, yes, it's I work in both worlds, but in coaching, it doesn't matter, because you are the one as a client that really have the agenda, and we talk about whatever you want. But I have helped many people, and I have been invited to weddings of my clients.
That's awesome.
And it's I'm a romantic, and I believe in true love. And even if I don't have it right now, but I know it exists.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, there's definitely, as creatures, as you will, or a species that loves to have that connection, and it's indoubtable in my mind, or it's impossible for me to think that you can't have that true love feeling, that soulmate part of what you're talking about, because it's there and it's within us, and they, like you said, we all want that, we crave that. It's almost like its own drug in some ways, because that feeling is undoubtedly one of the best feelings, if not the best feeling you could ever feel with somebody. And
yeah, we idealize the romantic relationships. Like if it's the love most important that exists until someone has a kid, no? And then they say, no, that's amazing. And you cannot compare anything to that, no? But love is not a relationship. Love is the force that really connects all us. It's the force that is everything. It's the universe. It's what connects us. It's what moves. It's the highest vibration possible. And I think that what happens with relationships is that people equals that I failed in a relationship, or someone betrayed me or abandoned me, or I'm not in the right relationship with, love is not there for me. Mm. And it's an important distinction. Like, you should believe in love. Relationships are between humans.
Right.
They may end bad, or the other person may not act in a moral way and abandon or cheat on you or whatever it is. But doesn't mean that love is the guilty one.
Right.
Love is the force that supports you even when you have been betrayed. But individuals made mistakes. And it doesn't matter if it's in a friendship with a child or with your partner. In relationships, maybe are not forever.
Sure.
You should be together where there is love between the two of you. But if you are all the day arguing, then maybe you should think that this is not the right person for you at this moment.
Yeah. No, that's a good way of looking at it. I haven't looked at it at a much larger scale, right? Where it's something that we should just live within almost. And yes, there's obviously love between people and how we feel about somebody and support them. And you're absolutely right. If things are not right, they're not right. And we should acknowledge that. And because at that rate, we're thinking about our own health mentally, emotionally. And a lot of people get sucked into the, well, I've got kids, or I just need to make this work, because in many religions, for example, you know, getting divorced is going to look bad on me. Or so there's a lot of outside regulations that we take into consideration at the expense, yeah, or at the cost of our own.
It's true. But maybe you can just improve the relationship by loving yourself. Because I remember, if in my first marriage, I mean, knowing what I know right now about myself and all the, I don't like war, but I mean, the processes, right, and things, right, happened to me, what I learned, I could go back in time and being with the same person again, I can assure you that the marriage would be much successful and happy than it was. Because I thought that because we were married, he had to make me happy.
Yeah.
It was marriage that had to be like wonderful for me to be okay. And I put a lot of pressure in my partner, and that's not fair at all. And I'm not the only one. I see it around, like you and me, yeah, together. It's like, okay, now we are having the same problems. No, you have to solve your problems. Your partner have to solve his or her problems. And then you can go together and establish a relationship of two mature individuals that really love themselves. They have already the love. Then they are not trying to possess the other, change the other, fix the other. Because you're not interested in that. You are just saying, like, I have so much love for you, and I have plenty of that I give you, and I give you more. But I'm not out of love. My battery is always full because I recharge it. What happens is people give and give and give, and they are empty tank. and not from where I give.
Yeah.
And I keep giving because I always have done the same, because the other person keep asking me. And there is a moment that I give you all my resentment.
Right.
Not love. All my resentment. And I say, and what about me? Nobody takes care of me. Yeah, nobody, because you don't. You don't set up boundaries. You don't put limits. You don't say no. Then maybe you were like raised to please people. Many of us do that.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean,
and then you always say yes, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then you complain that nobody loves me because, you know, I'm sacrificing. But that's not love. That's self-sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, looking inward is essential, it sounds like. I mean, there's...
It's the only way.
Yeah. It is. Right. I mean, that's...
It doesn't have to end in divorce. It may have to end in a little bit more of this mindfulness, of this zooming out and looking at yourself.
Right.
With certain perspective and no judgment, and saying, wow, do you see what I'm doing? Every time I want to say no, I say yes. Yeah. I don't want to do this, and I do it. I think that they should help me, and I don't ask for help. And when you see those things, when you identify these things, is when you can change them.
Yeah, it's like you said, we're having expectations in your head about somebody, but not addressing them, not asking. You're just expecting those things to happen. Yeah, I mean,
don't read my minds.
Right.
Your partner doesn't know what is inside of your head.
Absolutely.
Remember that.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, I'm humble. I've had many times in my life that I've experienced that in relationships where I get upset and frustrated because, well, you're not doing this for me, you're not doing that. And it gets to the point where you have the resentment to what you're saying. And it's just filled with anger and why haven't you done this for me? And it's you self-reflecting on that. It's, well, I didn't ask and I didn't set the expectation or the boundaries or made myself clear that this is what I value in such a way that they were receptive to it. Right. And it's just so many relatable pieces to that experienced. And
yeah, I think that the problem is that we don't talk with each other. We don't really communicate. We expect that things will disappear. Then I don't have to deal with them. Let me put it under the rug. Or we just accept this is what it is and it's okay. But sometimes when you argue with someone, when you really have an honest conversation, things can change. Sometimes. This is not about changing the other person. It's the other person wanting to change because sees that something is happening, that you are suffering.
Yeah.
And the conversation is not about blaming the other person. It's about, I am suffering. I want to share with you my suffering.
Yeah, which is a completely different conversation. What you're saying there, that's the conversation is going to go much better than you saying, hey, you've done this, this, and this, and as a result, yeah. I would argue that that's probably the number at the top five of why relationships fail and why things go south quick, because the communication, it's not reflecting on how you're suffering as an individual and what you're going through because of it. Rather, it's okay. Well, I've noticed, I've taken, you know, notes on all these things you've done wrong, which it never ends well. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, those conversations are, there's probably a rare percentage that process no, well.
It's,
from that.
It's putting your happiness in others' person pocket. Like right. You only control in life what depends on you. Then that it's your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. You can deal with that and do something about it. The problem is when you are in a place where you pretend to change something that you cannot really change. You cannot tell the other person, like, I want you to love me this way.
Right.
It's not gonna work.
You're absolutely right. You mentioned before when you go to the retreats and work with people, you're actually doing this hands-on, like on site. You're going places and meeting with them, or is it virtual?
Nowadays, I work 100% since the pandemic on Zoom.
Okay, that's what I think. Yeah, that's what I think.
In the past, I love to travel well. And that was one of my passions. And I think that when you retreat from your life to go to a place where you have decided to invest time and money and effort and have these deep conversations, it may help because you are out of the normal life. The kids are not running around and all of these things. But we work with what we have. Then if we have to do it online, I have clients all over the place, from Dubai to Europe to Latin America. I work in Spanish and in English. And it's wonderful to be able to work with someone without taking a plane and making all this effort just to be there.
That's amazing. Yeah, the digital world is just, there's so many tools and resources and ways to connect now. It's unbelievable. I mean, the world has, through the pandemic, has just evolved so much to connect with people and learn about other people, learn about other cultures, learn, you know, meet new people and have those relationships. And it's been amazing. I mean, there's some downside to the, because I personally value, I love being able to go out and travel and meet people. And there's just something about human connection, but you can bridge that human connection starting digitally, right? And learning more about people. And I think technology has helped.
Yeah, I think it's a very American idea because this is a big country. And those who live here, we are used to work with people that we have never met. And that was common. In Spain, it took them a while to get adjusted to this. And they still say, but are you going to come to Barcelona? Because I prefer to wait until I see you.
Yeah.
I say, I don't have plans to go right now because I go to visit. Then I think that culturally, the way you see the world and the way you have worked before and here, it's different. It's different. And I learn a lot about the tone of voice of someone coaching on the phone without a camera. That just the way the client answers, I know what's going on. I know what is the tone because you kind of get used to these subtle things, no? Then Zoom seems like, oh, it's distance. No, it gives you a lot because we are doing this, I mean, free systems with the camera talking as long as we want. That's amazing, as you said, no? But I think that, it's like, I don't understand why the online dating, I could never start a relationship like texting someone.
Right.
Like, it's not for me. Texting is like, I'm late. Like you say, two more minutes, no? But don't try to establish like a connection with me texting. Like at least I need a phone call. You don't want to show up in the camera, it's okay. But I think that creates a lot of misunderstandings. This new modality of, everything is okay and talking here and there, but in short messages, no? You really have to be able to express everything you have. Someone doesn't fall in love with your looks, even though it falls in love with your energy.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Cannot be put in a message with so many emoticons or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, the emoji. I was going to say, like, people communicating in acronyms and emojis and...
Yeah,
you have no idea what's behind that. And so often it's misinterpreted and it creates confusion. And it drives me nuts too. I can't stand doing that.
Yeah, I have created an organization. It's gonna be launched in January 2023, but it connects with this. I don't know. The idea didn't came to me. It was the universe. I cannot. I mean, I'm doing it because it's supposed to come through me, but... The purpose of this organization that at the moment works totally online is to connect people with love and to invite them to share their love.
I love that.
Love in a big concept. Love is a smile. Love is laughter. Love is an act of kindness. Love is self-love. To take people out of this idea that love is relationship, no? And to invite them to be more loving. Not only the loved ones, that they have this name because you love them. Love around, like you can touch like a cat in the street if it allows you, or smile to a stranger or do something for an old person that you meet in the street. And yeah. all of these not only change their lives, change also your energy. And then it's a big project. It has a podcast also. It has love news. It has daily love notes and also a shop that has products with the shape of a heart and the word love.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
It has been created for the reason that we are talking about, like put more love into your life.
Yeah.
You want love, put more love. And the life, this is contagious. It's an energy that goes around. You smile to someone and someone most probably is going to smile back to you.
Of course. Yeah. We all appreciate it deep down. Yeah. I mean, it's like when you go to the store and somebody smiles or they're happy, it immediately gives you that endorphin, you know, like the dopamine, you know, well, I don't know what the terminology is, but it makes you feel good. You feel appreciated. You feel like there's a good aura around you almost. And it kind of takes your guard down a little bit. Which, I mean, in my opinion, we need more of, because it's just so, I don't know about in Miami, but there's just such a tense feeling in the Northeast. Like you go to the store and people look kind of grumpy and I don't know, all those little things bring you down just a little bit. So, you know, when you're out and about and people are driving erratically.
Love is contagious, but being grumpy is also contagious.
Right.
What do you prefer, to enter in a house where everyone is happy and they are nice to each other and there is a nice table set up to be together, or arriving to a dinner's party where everyone is angry with everyone and they're arguing? I mean,
nobody wants that.
What are you going to choose? Then I'm not saying that relationships have to be happy-go-lucky all the time. What I'm saying is love is not this thing that you exchange with a certain number of people. Love will show you that we are all one.
Yeah.
We are all one. We are connected. What I do not only affects me and my life and maybe the ones around me, it affects everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a domino effect. It totally is. This is awesome. How, through your work and your groups, and I know you're starting a business, how can people connect with you? How can they reach out to you? You know, what are some ways that people can learn from you?
I think the easiest way is to go to my website, judithmcosta.com, and there they will find a form for contact, but they will find also at the bottom, like this form to subscribe. If you subscribe, I'm going to keep you posted of events and news, but also I'm going to send you a blog and a gift letter that contains things about this, little tips, all the videos that go to YouTube. I'm in social media, but I like to have a personal connection with everyone and have a little bit more space than the little post. Everything that I post is uplifting, and you can find a lot of information about all these topics that we have been working. But if you have any question or any comment, or you want more information about the workshops and the classes and all of this, just shoot me an email. In this contact form, there is also my telephone number. You can call me. I answer the phone. I don't have a form where you go and pick a time. Then you're not going to find this. If you want to schedule a session, just call me. And we'll talk and we will agree. And I will give you all the information by email or in our conversation. I'm all the style.
Real connection, real phone number, no calendar. What do they call them? Calendlies? That's the business world today and work. It's just, look at my calendar. I'll find time for you. So, that's just
it is. This love and love will be alive in 2023, and we will communicate all of these things. It's an organization that is not about me. It's not by me, my business. It means it's a we. I want you to engage and to help. And this is for us together to share more love.
You're building a community. Yeah. It's a community effort. I absolutely Absolutely. I look forward to seeing it. I'm in January. I mean, we're right around the corner. So
I'll
be
send,
looking.
Yeah, I'll send you all the information and you can spread the word.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, for anybody listening, everything will be in, you know, the show notes and all the different social medias. It's hard to keep up with all this stuff these days, but, you know, it'll be wherever you like to hang out, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, iTunes, exactly. Spotify. The list goes on. There'll probably be more next year that I'll have to get on board with. But Judith, I really appreciate this. This is very informative. I love the work you're doing and how you're spreading the awareness on what love actually is and making it a more of a global, you know, relevance than just, you know, love within a marriage or within a relationship. And that's, I mean, for me, that's awakening for me too, as somebody who's always just thought, okay, well, love is between me and my child, me and my wife, me and my friends, whatever it might be. So I love the message that you're giving, and I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. So yeah, it'll upload.
This has been In the Right Mind with your host, Chris Wright. Join us again next Thursday for another illuminating and inspiring conversation. New episodes of In the Right Mind drop every Thursday. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. For updates and exclusive content, follow us on social media at @rightsmind. Sign up for our mailing list at rightsmind.com to get access to even more behind-the-scenes content, insights, and special offers. Thank you for being a part of our community and for supporting the mission of In the Right Mind. We're all on our own unique journey. It's important that we share our experiences and learn from each other. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and always keep your mind in the right place.